B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psochim Daf Lamed Aleph. We're going to start from the Mishnah, five lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Omed Beis. And this is a somewhat continuation from a previous Mishnah. We saw in the previous Mishnah on Daf Chof Ches Omed Aleph that only chometz that belong to a Yisrael over Pesach become osur after Pesach. However, chometz that over Pesach belong to a goy, they do not become osur after Pesach. We learn that from a pasuk shelachoy atoroya aval atoroya shelachirim v'shel gavoyar, and these are sugyas that we've learned at length till now. The Mishnah is now taking this one step further, and it sounds like a very basic Mishnah, but the Gemara is going to take us, in today's Shir, is going to take us to a whole new area of halacha, one which is to do with Chosh and Mishpat, more it's to do with monetary issues, and not one that we've come across so much in our travels through Shas, so we're going to be introduced to a few new concepts today, Mirtz Hashem. Let's just read the Mishnah. Before we read the Mishnah, we just want to become comfortable with the terms, so we shouldn't have to keep translating them. And I'm going to keep to the terms used in the Gemara, but just so we should understand what they mean. When somebody borrows money from somebody else, you've obviously got the borrower who is borrowing money from the lender. The borrower is called, in the Gemara's terms, in the Mishnah, is called a loive. The lender is called a malve. After the malve lends money to the loive, then there's now a debt. The malve becomes a creditor. The malve has a claim to the loive, you owe me money, and according to the terms of the loan, that has to be paid back. Well, very often when a person, when he lends somebody money, or when he makes a sale and for whatever reason the buyer doesn't have the money available to pay yet for what was purchased, and there's a debt, then there's two different ways, there's two different things that may satisfy a malve, a lender, a creditor, may satisfy him to trust the loive. One could be a shibud, which means that the loive, or the buyer, he actually makes a lien on the property, saying that if I don't pay you by X date, then this property, then any of my property will, you can claim your loan, you can claim the debt from that property. And that's typically what we would call a mortgage, which is a shibud. When you have land that is mashubud, if there's a lien on the property, that's called as a shibud. If there's a shibud on some property, on karka, on some land, then that land becomes, so to speak, mortgaged, mashubud, to the malve, to the creditor, to the lender. That sometimes a lender may say, I'm not happy just with the mortgage because I don't know what's going to come of this with time. I actually want you a security. I want you to give me something, an object, an item, give me something in my hand that will act not just as a mortgage, but as a security. And that's something we call a mashkin. And then the borrower will actually give the malve some item which will probably be worth in the region of what the loan is, and say, here, take this watch, I borrowed $1,000 from you, take this watch, it's worth approximately $1,000, watch it well for me, and in Mirtz Hashem, I'll pay you back by the time that I'm supposed to pay you back. If I don't, you have a security, the watch will become yours. So that's what we're going to be discussing a little bit and in today's Gemara. And what we really have to discuss, what happens if you've got chometz, which acts, so to speak, as a mortgage. And, you know, often a mortgage will be property. But what happens if a person borrows money and the borrower tells the lender, if I don't pay you back, then I have in my fridge, in my freezer, I have in my cupboard a loaf of bread, and that loaf of bread will become yours. What happens if chometz, if there's transactions being done between a Yisrael and a goy, and over Pesach, there is chometz that actually is serving as a mortgage, so to speak, to the, either it's chometz that belongs to Yisrael and is mortgaged to a goy, or it's chometz that belongs to a goy and is mortgaged to a Yisrael over Pesach. Then what's the halachic status of mortgaged chometz? Do we say that since the chometz belongs still to the borrower, it's just mortgaged to the lender, therefore it has the status of chometz of the borrower? Or do we say no? Since it's mortgaged to the lender, and the lender may well end up claiming his debt from this with this chometz, then we assume this chometz to have the status of the lender. What's going to be if chometz is not just a mortgage over Pesach, it's actually a mashkin, it's a security from a Yisrael to a Goy or from a Goy to a Yisrael? The same question is going to arise. That is going to be the contents of today's shiur. Says the Mishnah, Nochri Shehilve Es Yisrael Al Chemtzoy. You have the Malve, which is the lender, is the Goy, and he lends money to a Yisrael Al Chemtzoy, that the chometz of the Yisrael actually is going to serve as a type of a mortgage for this loan. Then Achar Pesach Mutar Behano. Then after Pesach, this chometz is Mutar Behano. Even though this chometz actually belonged to the Yisrael, it was mortgaged to the Goy over Pesach, then after Pesach, this chometz is actually mutter. We're going to have to understand why, but the chometz is mutter. V'Yisrael shehilves nochri al chemtzoy. If you have the opposite case, where you have chometz that actually belongs to the Goy, and it was Yisrael that lent the Goy money, and the chometz of the Goy was a mushubad, was a type of mortgage to the Yisrael, then achar Pesach, Osur Ba'ano, then this chometz is considered as if it was chometz that belonged to Yisrael after Pesach. That's the Mishnah. Let's see the Gemara inside. Itmar. And the Gemara is going to start with a seeming unrelated discussion. Obviously it is related. And the Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph is going to come back to our Mishnah and see how we can understand our Mishnah based on the following machlekas between Abaya and Rava. Now Abaya and Rava are going to discuss the following. If on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon said to Reuven, I've got a mortgage. I'm going to give you I'm making a lien on property, or it could be not property, whatever it might be. I'm making a shibud, and I'm dedicating a certain item to be mortgaged for this loan. And then on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, a month later, Reuven is supposed to be paying back Shimon the loan, and he doesn't pay. And on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Shimon then takes that mortgaged item, and he claims his debt with it. That becomes the payment for the debt. The question is, do we assume this object, if it's the property or whatever it is, this object, this mortgage, as belonging to Shimon already from Rosh Chodesh Nisan? It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan that Reuven gave Shimon money, and Shimon mortgaged this item to Reuven. Now, since it transpires that Shimon didn't pay back the loan, and Reuven is actually going to claim the debt, do we say, since the debt actually started, it happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's as if the mortgaged item was mine, was Reuven's, already from Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Or do we say no? Shimon may well have paid you off in the meantime with money, and then this mortgaged item would have stayed with Shimon. So even if it transpires that Shimon doesn't pay, and Reuven ends up claiming his debt from this shibud, from this mortgage, then it's only from this point and on that we associate this object to Reuven. Until then, it belongs to Shimon. That's going to be a machlokes Abaya v'Rava. Itmar, Baal Choiv, a creditor, a malve, a lender. Abaya Omar Lemafreya Hugoiva. Abaya says that if he claims from this mortgaged item, it's as if the item was his right from the beginning, from the date of the loan itself. Rava Omar Mikanu Labo Hugoiva. Rava says no. Rava says it's only from the point that he actually claims his debt from this, with this item, only from that point on, it belongs to the Malve. And the Gemara says there could be two differences between who does this object belong to, between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Rosh Chodesh Iyar. This item, who does it belong to? According to Abaya, it belongs to Reuven. According to Rava, it belongs to Shimon. The question, and the difference could be, what happens if Reuven were to take this item and say, I want this item from now on to become Hektish, to belong to the Beis HaMikdash, or I want to sell this item to somebody. I want to sell this item to Levi. It's a bit of a risky business because this item may never come to you, Reuven. But Reuven says, yeah, I know, but it might come to me. And in the event that it comes to me, I want to make a sale and sell it now, sometime between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Rosh Chodesh Iyar, I want to sell it to Levi. Well, if you say that l'mafreya hu goyve, that later it will be transpire that this object was always from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, belonged to Reuven, as a buyer would say, it would seem that Reuven can do transactions with it. And according to Rava, that this object remains Shimon's until Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Reuven can't do anything with it in the meantime. That would be one discussion. Another discussion would be, how about if Shimon wants to do a transaction with it? We would have thought the same applies. According to Abaya, Shimon cannot do anything with this object after Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because it may well transpire later that Reuven is going to claim his debt with this object, and l'mafreya hu goyve, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's already associated to Reuven. Shimon from Rosh Chodesh Nisan is no longer the owner. He cannot do anything with it. And however, according to Rava, we may have thought Shimon can sell it. It's only Mikanu Lahabahu Goiva. Even if Reuven were to claim his debt from this object, from this mortgaged item, it would only become Reuven's on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So if Shimon chooses to do something with it, to do some transaction with this, to make it Hekdesh or to sell it between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Rosh Chodesh Iyar before it becomes Reuven's, then we would have thought, or it would seem, that the transaction will be valid. So the Gemara says that's not completely accurate. The Gemara says, "Kol heicha da'aktish loive v'zovin loive." Regarding Shimon, irrespective of whether this item is going to become or be called Reuven's from Rosh Chodesh Nisan or from Rosh Chodesh Iyar, whichever way you hold it, the Shimon himself is restricted. He cannot do transactions with it, even if you say, like Rava says, that it will always only ever become Reuven's from the date that he claims his debt with this object, but until then it belongs to Shimon, but Shimon does not have full control of it, just by virtue of the fact that there's a lien on this object, on this property, whatever it is. Then it is the very fact that it's mortgaged to Reuven already restricts Shimon. So the Gemara says that if Heicha da'aktish loive, if Shimon, the borrower, is the one who's going to make this item hektish, v'zovin loive, or if Shimon wants to sell this object, kule alma loy pligi, everybody agrees that he has no right to do any such transaction, v'osi malva, v'torif, then when Rosh Chodesh Iyar comes along, even according to the opinion, like Rava says, Mikano lahabo goive, that this object will only ever become Reuven's on Rosh Chodesh Iyar when he claims this object, and if Shimon sold or made Hekdesh this object before Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Reuven can come along and v'torif and collect this item from whoever Shimon chose to sell it to. Even though Mikanu Labo Goive would only ever become Reuven's now, but it's mortgaged to him. Since it's mortgaged to Reuven, Shimon had no right to sell it. And the same applies if Shimon chose to make this object Hekdesh. Osi Malve Uporik. Then this Malve, this Reuven, can actually take it back from Hekdesh. Because Shimon had no right to give it to Hekdesh, even though it belonged to Shimon, but he didn't have total control over the item because it was mortgaged to Reuven. Now, technically, according to the letter of the law, Reuven should be able to knock on Hektish's door and say, I'm sorry, Shimon made this object Hektish, made this property Hektish, and he had no right to do it, it was mortgaged to me, give it to me. And Hektish would have to give it to him. However, people watching might think that you can just take things from Hektish without redeeming them. So the Chachomim said, you know what, just it should look right, take a small coin, just something minimal, give it to Hekdesh as if you're redeeming it from Hekdesh. And that's why it says, Osi Malve or Porik, this Malve, this Reuven should come and redeem it from Hekdesh. Ditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah in Erechin Daf Chof Gimel, we're just going to read the Mishnah in Erechin. We're not going into the details. We'll learn it in Mirtz Hashem Erechin. Moisif oy dinner, that Reuven can come and add just a small coin, relatively small coin called a dinner, upoides and nachosim elu, and with that he can redeem the this object, this property that was actually given to Hekdesh unlawfully. It was given to Hekdesh by Shimon whilst there was actually a mortgage on this before Shimon gave it to Hekdesh. So that's clear, that Shimon, irrespective of whether it's going to belong to Reuven from Rosh Chodesh Nisan or from Rosh Chodesh Iyar, there's a mortgage on this object, and Shimon has no right to do any transactions with it. Ki pligi, the machlokes Abaye and Rava is going to have halachic ramifications in the opposite case. What happens if Reuven does a transaction with it? So of course, in the event that Shimon actually pays up the debt and this object never becomes Reuven's, Reuven can't do anything with it. But what happens if Reuven did a transaction with this object or property between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and then it transpired that indeed Shimon chose not to pay for his debt and Reuven was actually going to claim this object as payment? Then, according to Abaya, we associate this object to Reuven from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. According to Rava, only from Rosh Chodesh Iyar. The difference will be, if Reuven made any transactions with this object between Rosh Chodesh Iyar and Rosh Chodesh Nisan, will they be valid? Ki pligi dezovin malve, when the lender sells the object, the Kodesh malve, or the malve, Reuven, actually makes this object hektish, Abaya Omar, according to Abaya, lemafreya hu goiva, it's as if this object was already belonged to Reuven from the time of the loan from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, kiven demotos mane v'loi pori, once Rosh Chodesh Iyar arrived, v'loi pori and Shimon did not pay up his loan, igloi milse lemafreya, will become clear retroactively that the mikora from the beginning, from the time of the loan, the reshusei havet was already under the ownership, so to speak, and the control of Reuven, Havakoi, Vashapir Ikdish, and the Hektish is valid, Vashapir Zovin, or the sale is valid. That's according to Abaya. Rava Omar, Rava says no, Mikanu Labo Goiva, it's ever only associated to Reuven from the time that this mortgaged object item actually comes to the hands of Reuven. Kiven de Ilu Havu de Zuzi, in the event that Shimon would have had money to pay off the debt, have a masalik lebezuzi, Shimon would have sent Reuven away with the money to pay for the debt, and the object would have stayed with Shimon. Ishtakach the hashtag akoni. So, since Shimon could have done that, it's apparent that this object, this mortgaged object, only ever belongs to Reuven only after it becomes clear that Shimon was not going to pay the debt, and that Reuven was going to claim his debt from the mortgaged object. Until then, it belongs to Shimon, and any transaction Reuven tried to do with this object before that time is invalid. That's this Gemara. The Gemara is now going to continue, and we'll soon see how it's going to be related to the machlokes we just saw now. Omar Rava, says the Gemara, Umi Omar Rava, hachi? Did Rava actually say what we just said in his name, that mikanu lahabo goive, that when a mortgaged item is given back to the creditor, is given to the, not back, it's given to the creditor, is given to the lender, that it only belongs to the lender from the time that the mortgaged item is given to him, not from the original time where the loan happened? V'ha'omar Rami Bar Choma, but did Rami Bar Choma not say the following halacha? And from there it would seem to be clear, not like Rava. Now, before we read this Gemara, in order not to get confused, I'd like to, outside of the text of the Gemara, just to bring us into the picture, and then we'll see it inside. What actually happened here? And this was an interesting story that actually took place in 8 stages. And it's very uncomplicated. We just have to keep head. And it went as follows. The first thing that happened was that Reuven actually owed money to somebody, to Levi. And Reuven had a property, and that property actually was meshubad, there was a lien on that property to Levi. Now, in the event that Reuven would not pay Levi the debt that he owes him, then Levi would be able to claim the debt from this property. That's what happened, and the Gemara at the beginning is not going to make very much notice of that at all. The Gemara is actually going to start with stage 2. But behind the scenes, we know that this field that belongs to Reuven actually had a lien on it and was meshubad, was mortgaged to Levi. What happened now? Reuven wants to sell this field, and he sells it to Shimon. Reuven sells the field to Shimon. And when Reuven did that, Shimon said to Reuven, just a minute, I don't know if you don't owe somebody money. How do I know there isn't a lien on this property, on this field? How do I know that at some point in time, somebody you owe money to, that you owed money to before this date, how do I know they're not going to come and say, this field was mortgaged, Reuven had no right to sell you this field, give me the field. So Reuven said, you're right, and I'm happy to take a chrais, which means that I take full responsibility, and any of my properties or any of my everything I own is actually going to be meshubed to you as a chrais, as a guarantee. That means if in the event that Levi is going to, or a Levi, Shimon doesn't yet know that such a Levi exists, but in the event that a Levi would come and take this field away, I am responsible to reimburse you for the price of this field. Okay, so the sale was done. The field now belongs to Shimon, and besides the field belonging to Shimon, Shimon has an achrayis, has a word from Reuven that if it gets taken away from him, Reuven was going to take responsibility. Now Shimon has to pay for the field. Shimon says, I'm sorry, I don't have any cash with me. I don't have any money. So I'm going to write you a choiv. Let's say this field cost $1,000. Then Shimon says, you know what? The field is mine. Let's just assume, or let's view it in a way as if I've borrowed $1,000 from you. I'm going to write you a shtar, a document. And in the shtar, it says, I borrowed $1,000 from you, Reuven, and any property which I, Shimon, have is mortgaged to you, Reuven, for this loan of $1,000, that if in the eventuality, if I don't pay the $1,000, you will be able to take this loan from my property. And as it happened, Shimon didn't own any other property. The only property he ever owned was this one that he's now buying from Reuven. So here we have a story that there's a field that really was mortgaged to Levi. Nobody knows that yet. Reuven sold it to Shimon and took a chrayis for it. Shimon owes Reuven $1,000, and he was meshabed and he mortgaged whatever belongs to him to Reuven for that debt. All that was stage two. What happened next? Stage three. Stage three, Reuven died. Okay? So what do we have now? We have some yesoimim, we have heirs of Reuven, the children of Reuven, who are going to go through the paperwork and try and sort out, you know, who owes our father money. And they come across the paperwork and they see Shimon hasn't yet paid for the field that our father Reuven sold to him. Shimon owes our father $1,000. Okay, so that's what doesn't happen yet, but that's about to happen. Before that, this Mr. Levi comes along and he's looking for Reuven. Reuven's not alive anymore. He says, just a minute, Reuven owed me money. He had a field when I lent him the money. That field was mortgaged to me. And they said, sorry, Shimon's living in the field. So this Levi went to Shimon and told Shimon, I'm so sorry for the inconvenience. I understand you bought this field from Reuven. Do you realize it was mortgaged to me? Give me my field back. It's not yours. You have an issue. Reuven took a chrayas for it, took responsibility for it. Go work it out with Reuven. Reuven's not alive anymore. Work it out with his kids. Or we'll soon see his kids actually, since Reuven didn't leave any other property over, then the kids will say, I'm sorry. That field, yeah, you're right, it belongs to Levi. And I'm sorry, we children of Reuven, don't owe you Shimon anything. Any cash that's left around is ours. Any shibud, any mortgage or anything that my father owes, as far as would only be valid on properties he left over. He didn't leave over any properties. And therefore, we are not responsible to pay for his achrayis that he took for this field. And I'm sorry for you, Shimon. And that's the end of the story. What actually happened here? What happened was that Shimon did not want to let go of the field. So he said to Levi, the field cost $1,000. I want to keep the field. Reuven owed you $1,000 here. I'm paying you $1,000. And in the back of our minds, it sounds like Shimon did something very sensible. Shimon was saying to himself, I owe Reuven $1,000 for paying for this field. Well, this field didn't belong to Reuven, it was mortgaged to Levi. It belonged to him, but it was mortgaged to Levi. Levi's taking it away from me. The $1,000 that I owe Reuven, I'll give it to Levi, and end of story. If anyone comes to claim the field, if the children of Reuven then going to come and ask me to pay for the field, I'll say, I'm sorry, this field was mortgaged to Reuven. I paid Reuven what your father Reuven owed Levi, and the field stays with me. And that's what happened. Shimon paid out of pocket $1,000 to Levi. What happened next was that the children of Reuven, they were Talmidei Chachamim, and they realized that, just a minute, it's true that my father owed Levi money, owed Levi the field. It's true. But when my father died, when Reuven died, there was no properties left over. As far as us Yesoimim are concerned, as far as us, the children of Reuven are concerned, we are not required to pay out of pocket a debt that my father owed Levi. So the children can say, I don't understand. You, Shimon, why did you pay up that debt as if you're paying it on our behalf? So we wouldn't have had to pay for that for Levi. If Levi would have come to us and say, your father Reuven owes money, we would say, I'm sorry, he didn't leave over any properties. We don't need to pay you cash. You, Shimon, took cash and paid Levi. I'm sorry, but it wasn't on our behalf. We were not required to do that. But what we do know is that you, Shimon, owe my father $1,000. You have to pay that up. The fact that you paid cash to Shimon, well, that was cash that we didn't have to pay. So you didn't pay on our behalf. So the $1,000 you ask, give to us. And now Shimon is left in this predicament. What now? So Shimon, on the one hand, he can say, well, your father, if Levi would take that field away, which he did, this field was mortgaged to Levi. So there's an achrayis. There's responsibility that Reuven has to pay Shimon. And that's one thing. And there's another thing that Shimon paid this Levi the $1,000. And the children of Reuven are saying that both of those aspects doesn't bother us. The fact that Levi is owed money, as far as we're concerned, children of Reuven, cash is, we are not required to let go of any cash to give to Levi. You paid in cash. So now you're going to say that my father has responsibility to you that if the field gets taken away, well, in the same way as we children of Reuven are not responsible to pay Levi back with cash and our father Reuven didn't leave over any property, we're saying the same to you, Shimon. We're very sorry my father took responsibility, Levi took your field away, and now, yes, indeed, my father owes you $1,000, because he took responsibility for it, but he didn't leave over any properties with which to pay the $1,000 and to pay you cash. Again, the same thing applies. Children of somebody who owes money do not need to pay cash. They only have to pay from properties that are left over. So now Shimon is going to be left with nothing. He would have lost his field. He's lost his $1,000, which he gave to Levi, and now he's going to lose another $1,000 because he's going to have to pay for the field to the children of Reuven. What do we do now? So the Gemara says, if Shimon is a Talmud Chacham, if Shimon is clever, this is what he'll do. He'll try and arrange that Reuven, even after his death, let's try and work it out that Reuven has property. If Reuven has property, then Shimon can claim from the children of Reuven, just a minute, your father took responsibility to pay me for this field in the event that it would get taken for Levi, if in the event that it was mortgaged and it transpired that it was mortgaged. And you children of Reuven are only exempt because you're claiming that the father didn't leave over any property. I'll arrange for it that your father had property. How are you going to do that? Shimon is going to say to the children of Reuven, I'm so sorry, I don't have available cash. I have this field. I'm going to pay back the loan that I owe your father with a field, with property. Here you go. Instead of giving you $1,000 for the field, I'm giving you a field. I'm giving you a field. Why am I giving you the field? To pay back your father. So it's as if your father now has the field. Your father has a field. He's taken responsibility that if the field was mortgaged, he was going to give me back my $1,000. Give me the field back. And that way, he will not have to pay, he will not lose the second $1,000. That's what the Gemara says. Now, there's two ways of understanding how this trick works. Either According to Abaya, it works like a charm. When Shimon gives the field back to the children of Reuven, this field was mortgaged to Reuven because everything of Shimon's was mortgaged to Reuven when he had to pay for that field and didn't have money to pay. So he's now taking a mortgaged field and giving it back to the children of Reuven. According to Abaya, when a mortgaged item is given back to a creditor, it's viewed as belonging to the creditor from the time of the debt, from the time that the loan was made. Wonderful. Here's the field. Lemafreahu goiva, says Abaya. It's as if your father had this field. Your father had this field. Then his field was meshubad back to me, Shimon, because he took responsibility that if the field that he sold me was mortgaged, he was going to pay me back, give it back to me. It works like a charm. According to Rava, however, we have a challenge. Rava says, Mikanu labo goiva. If you're paying back the father, it's not as if this field belonged to the father back from then. No, it's only from now. Now the father's not alive. So you're just giving the children of Reuven, you're giving the children of Reuven a field you owed his father. But it's not considered as if Reuven had the field. If it's not considered as Reuven had the field, what do you gain? How can you claim that field back from the children of Reuven? They don't owe it to you. So that's going to be a proof the Gemara is going to bring from this story. It must be like Abaya l'mafreya u'goiva. But the Gemara is going to answer no. The Gemara is going to answer that there's another issue, another topic, and that is something called shibuda de Reb Nosson. That if I owe you money and you owe somebody else money, instead of me paying you and you paying somebody else, I can go directly to somebody else and pay him. So if I have something mortgaged to you, and you have a shibud to him, then this field, in the same way as it's got a lien on this field or lien on this object to you, it's also mortgaged to the person you owe money to. I can give it straight to that person. That person can actually come and claim it straight from me. And more details of these halachas we're going to learn later on in Shas, but there is such a concept. If so, what's happening here is Shimon can really say to the children of Reuven, listen, this field was mortgaged to your father. You're right. But your father also had a mortgage to me. He didn't have any properties. But in the same way as I owed your father for the field, your father owed to me for the responsibility he took in the event that the field he sold me was mortgaged. So instead of, and there, it's even if you don't say l'mafreahu goiva, there it doesn't matter how the dates work here. If A owes B and B owes C, then A can go straight to C. Over here, Shimon can say that with this concept of Shibuda de Reb Nosson, then I owe your father owes me, so to speak, this field is mortgaged to me, I'm just keeping it. And that's how it works. Even Rava would agree with that. And that's how the Gemara is going to disprove the refutation against Rava with this story. Now that we've seen all that, it will be safe sailing. Let's see the Gemara inside. Umi'omar Rava Hochi. Did Rava indeed say that Mikanu labo goiva, that when you pay back a loan, a debt, with a mortgaged item, that it's as if it only belongs to Reuven, so to speak, the Reuven in the first terms that we were discussing, that the malve, the lender, only belongs to him from the time that the field actually is given to him? Rami Bar Choma said the following incident. Reuven shamochar sode leShimon. Reuven sold the field to Shimon ba'achrayas, and he took achrayas that in the event that somebody would take away the field from Shimon because it was mortgaged to somebody else that we know is called Levi, then Reuven would take achrayas. V'zok fanolov b'milve, and the $1,000 that Shimon should have paid was turned into, so to speak, as a loan, and they wrote a contract that I, Shimon, borrowed $1,000 from you, Reuven, and I'm taking a chrayas, and I'm mortgaging my belongings to you. Umeis Reuven, and then Reuven died. V'osa bal choiv de Reuven, and then the bal choiv, the creditor of Reuven that we are calling Levi, came, v'toriflei mishimon, and he took the field away from Shimon. V'osa Shimon, and Shimon, instead of giving up the field, upaisei, he appeased him, bezuza, he said, instead of taking the field, here's $1,000. Dinahu, according to the letter of the law, Da'asu b'nei Reuven, the children of Reuven can come, v'omri leila Shimon, and they can say to Shimon, Anan, as far as we're concerned, metaltali shovak avuch gaboch, avun gaboch. My father didn't have any property. All he had was money. Where's that money? In your hands, Shimon. You owe my father $1,000. If you owed our father $1,000, that is called cash that you owe him. You don't owe him a field. You owe zok for nulav b'milva, means that you turned it into a loan. You owe him $1,000. That $1,000 is not considered as property, as real estate. It's metaltalin. It's like a movable object. Or metaltalin diyasma, and the money, the metaltalin that heirs, they inherit from the father, or the people who owed the father money, lebal chayv loy mishtabda, they are not mortgaged for the people the father owed money to. That means not to Levi, they're not, and not to Shimon himself as responsibility for the field being taken away from him. So give us our money, you owe it to us, and we do not need to pay any of you, not Levi, not you, Shimon, with this money. That was the incident. V'omar Rava. Rava said, "Ipikeach Shimon." If Shimon is clever, this is what he will do. Magvilahu ara. He's going to give the children of Reuven this property, or any property, or this property is going to give it to the children of Reuven. V'hodra, and after that, gavile minayu. He's going to say, now that I've given you, now that I've repaid the $1,000 I owe your father Reuven with a field, now it's as if Reuven has the field. Now, if Reuven has a field, it's mortgaged to me for the responsibility he took in the event that Levi was going to take the field away. The Omer of Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Yesoimim shegovu karka b'choiva saviyam. If people owed property, real estate to Reuven, and the children then claim that real estate of for the debts owed to the father, bal chayv chayzav ergoiva isa, then now it's considered as if the father left over money, and now anybody who the father owed money to, even though the children of somebody who passes away doesn't need to pay cash, doesn't need to pay movable objects for the debts of the father, but if the children of somebody who dies collect real estate, property that was owed to the father, it's as if it belonged to the father from the beginning, and now from when he was still alive, and then anybody the father owed money to can claim that debt from these properties. That's what Rava, based on what Rav Nachman said, Rava said, I've got a very good idea how to get Shimon out of this mess. Now the Gemara is saying, "I omrus b'shleimo." If you're going to say, like Abaya says, that lemafreya hu goiva, that when you pay back a mortgaged item, it's as if the person you're paying back to, the lender, it was always his from back in the day when the loan started. That's why choizav goiva isamehen. That's why you can then reclaim it from the children of the father, because if I'm giving the field back to the father, it was mortgaged to the father, it's as if it always belonged to the father. And if it's as if it always belonged to the father, then people the father owed money to can claim from that field. The commander Govu Mechaim Davo in Domi, it's as if it belonged to the father when he was still alive. Eloi Omras, but according to Rava, who says, Mikanu Labao Goiver, that when you repay a loan with a mortgaged item, it only is considered as the lender's when from the time that the mortgaged item is given to him. Then why should any of the people the father owed money to be able to claim from these properties? Have a commander Zovin Yasma Nechse. It's as if the children bought new property. Domi, it's compared just to the children who bought property, because it's only Mikanu Labo, it only belonged, it only entered family Reuven from this point on. It wasn't always in the family. It didn't belong to Reuven when he was still alive. It was given to his children now as payment that was owed to the father. But this field didn't belong to Reuven back in the days, according to Rava. Ve'ilu kon yasma, if children of Reuven were to buy other properties, nechsa, other properties, mikom shabde lebal chayv, do they have to use their properties in order to repay back the loans owed of the father? Of course not. So if so, we have proof from this whole incident here, like Abaya, that it's as if it always belonged to Reuven, and therefore other people can come and claim their debts that was owed by Reuven, can take it from that property. Says the Gemara, no. Shan Yehosom, this case is different, because over here, even according to Rava, that only Mikano Lahabo Goive, nonetheless, Shimon can, so to speak, reclaim that field back from the children of Reuven. Why? Da Omer Luhu. Because Shimon can say to the children of Reuven, Ki Heicha de Meshabadno Leila Avuchin, in the same way as this field is mortgaged to your father Reuven for the $1,000 that I owed him, Meshtabadno Nami Lebal Choivda Avuchin. It's also mortgaged to somebody who your father owed money to, which in this case it happens to be me, Shimon, myself, because he took responsibility for the field he sold me in the event that a Levi will take it away. And why does that work? Midr Reb Nosson, from a halacha that's attributed to Reb Nosson. The Tanya Reb Nosson Oymer, and this is famously known as Shibuda de Reb Nosson. Minayin lenoyshe b'chaveri. If somebody has a claim against his friend, Mone, of a Mone, which is a coin, v'chaveri b'chaveri, and his friend has a claim from somebody else. If A is claiming from B and B is claiming from C, A can claim straight from C. And where do we know that from? Talmud Loimar V'nosan La'asher Osham Loi. And again, we're not going now into the details of how we learn it from this pasuk, but from this pasuk we learn that when I am repaying a debt, I can repay it to the person who I owe money to owes money to. And Venosan, I give it to the person, La Asher Osham Loi. That means if I owe it to Reuven, I pay it back to the person who Reuven owes money to, which is that third person. So since there's Shibuda de Reb Nosson, over here, Shimon can say, this field was mortgaged to your father, and your father owed it to me, Shibuda de Reb Nosson, I'm keeping it. And even though the Gemara said, Rava said that if he's clever, he would give the children of Reuven in the field and then claim it back, the truth is he doesn't even have to give it to them. He can say, I'm not giving it to you because it's as if I'm giving it to you and taking it straight back, Shibuda de Reb Nosson, and therefore I'm keeping the field. Continues the Gemara. And now we're coming back to our Mishnah and trying to see how we're going to learn our Mishnah in view of this Machlekes, Abaya and Rava. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Nochri Shehilve Es Yisroel Al Chemtzoi. The first halacha in the Mishnah, where you've got the Chometz of a Yisrael that was mortgaged to a goy lent money to a Yisrael based on this mortgage. Achar Pesach Mutar Bahano. After Pesach, this Chometz is Mutar Bahano. It's considered as if it belonged to the goy over Pesach. So, if you say that a mortgaged item is attributed and belongs to the lender from the beginning, then I can understand. The loan was made before Pesach. The Chometz belonged to Yisrael, but it was mortgaged to the goy. It was mortgaged to the goy, even though the time of payment is after Pesach, and only after Pesach it will become clear whether this Chometz is actually going to be given to the goy or not. But assuming that it's going to be given to the goy, then we assume, according to Abaya, lemafreahu goyva, that this chometz always belonged to the goy from the time of the loan. Since it's chometz that, according to Abaya, belonged to the goy from before Pesach, then after Pesach it's mutar bahano. Amtulahachi, that's why, mutar bahano. Eloi omros, if you're going to say like Rava says, mikano labo goyva, that in any case, this chometz is ever only going to be called belonging to the goy after Pesach, then during Pesach it belonged to the Yisrael. Am I mutar bahano? If it's chometz that belonged to Yisrael on Pesach, why is it mutar bahano after Pesach? Chometz is also after Pesach. Birushus of the Yisrael have a koi. It's considered still the rishus of the Yisrael. It belongs to the Yisrael. Answers the Gemara, you're right. The whole Machlekes Abaya and Rava is only regarding a mortgaged item. A mortgaged item that it's not in the property of the goy, it's a Yisrael's chometz, and it may be in the home of the Yisrael. It is in the home of the Yisrael, it's just mortgaged to the goy. There you have a Machlekes. Who does mortgaged items belong to? To the borrower or to the lender? However, over here we're talking about that the chometz was actually deposited to the goy. It was deposited, and now it's left the status of being merely a mortgaged item. It's now become a security. It's become a mashkan. A mashkin is something else. A mashkin of a yisrael that was given to the goy as a security belongs to the goy. It's called chometz of a goy. We'll soon see that exactly how that works. Is a goy koina a mashkin that comes from a yisrael? We're going to see later in the Gemara on Amud Beis that it's not completely accurate, and there's one added condition that we need here, and that is that the conditions that were made between them is that in the event that the loan doesn't get paid, in the event that the Yisrael does not pay back the goy, the loan, then they make a clear statement saying that this mashkin, this security, should belong to you from now, from the time of the loan. That's going to be an added detail that's going to become apparent later in the Gemara. But at this point in the Gemara is saying that our Mishnah has nothing to do with the Machlokas Abaye and Rava, because Abaye and Rava are talking about mortgaged item, not mashkonos, not securities. Asks the Gemara, Leima ketanoi, we're going to bring a brisa. And from this brisa, it would seem that there's two tanoim arguing exactly on this discussion. Do we say lemafreahu goive with a mortgaged chometz? Or do we say mikanu labo goiver? And this is always a question. We don't like a machlokes tanoim being identical to a machlokes amiroim. What do we see in the brisa? Yisrael shehilva lenochri, which means this was a goy's chometz, that an Yisrael lent money to the goy, and the mortgage, or that would be mortgaged for this loan, is chometz belonging to the goy. Al chemtzay for with a mortgage of a goy's chometz, la'achar pesach einoy over. The Tanakhama say, as we saw, well, not really. This is a similar case to the second half of our Mishnah. We saw before that our Mishnah is talking about a mashkin, not just a shibud, not just a mortgage. But similar to the second half of our Mishnah, this braisa is saying that if you have a case where you've got the chometz of a goy that's mortgaged to a Yisrael, the Tanakhama say it's mutter. Mishum Reb Meir Omru. However, they said in the name of Reb Meir, over, that after Pesach it's going to be Osir, because this is considered as chometz belonging to a Yisrael. That is the Reisha, the first part of this braisa. Chometz that belonged to a goy that was mortgaged to a Yisrael. The Tanakhama say it's mutter. It's as if it's a goy's chometz. And Reb Meir says it's Osir. My love, can we not assume? B'hakam miflugi, this is what they're arguing about. The Marasova, Reb Meir, who says it's Osir, he holds lemafreahu goiva, that since it was mortgaged to the Yisrael, then it's considered the Yisrael's right from the time of the loan, which was before Pesach. Umarasova, the Tanakhama hold mikanu labo goiva. They say what Rava says, that it's only mikanu labo, it's only considered as belonging to the lender from the time where the loan is not paid back, from the time where this chometz is actually going to be given to the Yisrael. And since over Pesach it belonged to the goy, therefore it's mutter ba'anoah after Pesach. Says the Gemara of Tisbara, do you really think that that's we're supposed to be understanding the ratio of this braisa, that they're arguing whether mikanu labo goiver or lemafreahu goiver, ema seifa? Go to the end of that braisa, you're going to see another halacha, and we're going to have trouble there. What does it say in the seifa? Aval nochri shehilva liyisrael al chemtzoi la'achar ha-pesach. What happens if we have an opposite case, similar to the first case in our Mishnah on Lamed Omud Beis? If you have chometz belonging to a Yisrael, and it was mortgaged to a goy, the loan took place before Pesach, and the time to pay back is after Pesach. There, divrei hakol over, everybody says that it's considered as if the chometz belongs to the Yisrael. And here we have an issue. If you say that the Tanakhama and Reb Meir, at the beginning, where we're talking about a goy's chometz mortgage to Yisrael, you say that the Tanakhama say mikanu lahabo goiva, and that's why it's mutter, because till the date of the loan, till the date where the loan was supposed to be paid back, it belongs to the goy. And Reb Meir says lemafreahu goiva, and that's why in the ratio it was osir. And the Sefer, it should be exactly the opposite. That according to the Tanakhama, who say mikanu lahabo goiver, it should be osir, because it belongs to the Yisrael. According to Abmeo, who says lemafreahu goiver, it should be mutter. Why does everybody say it's osir? The sefer should have just been a reverse of the reisha. Lemanda Omar Hosom, the opinion, the Tanakama who said in the reisha of the Braisa, Einoi Oiver, that in the case where it was a goy's chometz that was mortgaged to Yisrael, he's not Oiver because we say, Mikanu Labo Goiver, Hacha Oiver should say over here that he is Oiver because Mikanu Labo Goiver. And Lemanda Omar Hosom, and according to Rab Meir, who says in the reisha that Oiver, that it's also because we say lemafreo goiver, hocha eno os over. Over here in the case where it's the Yisrael's goy, if you say lemafreo, Yisrael's chometz mortgage to the goy, eno over is not over because lemafreo goiver, and from before Pesach it already belongs to the goy. And why does everybody say it's osur? So it must be the machlokas Tanakama and Rab Meir is not regarding the status of a mortgaged item. It's not the machlokas Abaye and Rava. Elo, what are they arguing about? We're talking about not a mortgaged item, we're talking about a security. We're talking about we're talking about that in this brisa, the chometz that we're discussing was actually deposited with the lender, and there it's very different. Once it's deposited, we have a whole new machlekas. It's not mikanu labo goiva or lemafreo goiva. It's a new discussion. Bal choiv koine mashkin or not koine mashkin? Is a bal choiv, a creditor who has deposited in his rishus, in his home, he has a security that was given to him by the borrower, by the person who owes him money. Do we say in the event, at least in the event that it's going to transpire that he's not going to pay back, but do we say that this item is considered as being koine, as being acquired already to buy the lender, and then it's considered as if it's his right from the beginning, from when he actually received the security into his hands? Or do we say no? And if that's going to be the discussion, then it's nothing to do with the machlokas Abaye v'Rava, but we still have to understand why in the Braisa should there be a difference between whether a goy's chometz is a security, is a mashkin in a Yisrael's rishus, where there you have a machlokas Tanakama and Rab Meir, that according to the Tanakama it's mutter because the Yisrael was not koina the chometz, and according to Rab Meir it's also obviously the Yisrael was koina the mashkin, and in the sefer where a Yisrael's chometz is given as a security to a goy, there everybody says osur, everybody says he's not koina. We still have to understand that, and that's what the Gemara is going to explain now, that in the subject of bal choiv koina mashkin, a goy is never koina a mashkin of a Yisrael, and therefore in the sefer everybody says that it belongs to the Yisrael. And in the way we're understanding now, everybody says that everybody's going to say mikanu lahabo goiva when it comes to a mortgage, because every mashkin is also a meshubad. It's also a mortgage. It's just much more than that. It's been deposited. It's already a mashkin. So from now, we're assuming that everybody holds mikanu labo goiva. That means this brisa. Everybody in this brisa holds that as far as the mortgage is concerned, it's mikanu labo. However, since it's already a security, that's a shaila. It could be that the person, the creditor, who's holding this mashkin, that he's actually been koina. So we're going to see that that a goy is never koina mashkin from a Yisrael. And then we understand the sefer of the Braisa. If a Yisrael's chometz is used as a security, as a mashkin, given to the goy is not koina it. It belongs to Yisrael. Everyone says it's osur. In the reisha we're talking about, a goy's chometz is a mashkin given to Yisrael. There's going to be a machlokes whether a Yisrael is koina a mashkin from a goy, or not. When a goy gives a mashkin to Yisrael, is it a kinyan? Is it not a kinyan? According to the Tanakama, who say it's mutter, they say that Yisrael was not koinet, and therefore it's considered as chometz of the goy, and therefore it's mutter after Pesach. According to Rab Meir, a Yisrael is koina a mashkin from a goy. A Yisrael from a Yisrael, if a Yisrael gives a mashkin to another Yisrael, there we always say bal choiv koina mashkin. Let's see that inside. But we're talking about a mashkin that was deposited in the home of the balchoiv, of the creditor, of the lender. The kamifle gibed Rabbi Yitzchok, and they're arguing regarding the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchok. The Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, minayin the balchoiv shekoine mashkin. A regular Yisrael gives a mashkin to another Yisrael. The second Yisrael, the one who's holding the mashkin for the duration of the period of the loan, he's koine the mashkin. Shenema, it says in the pasuk, if you have a poor man who borrowed money from you, and he gives you his coat or his bedding that he needs in the night to warm him up, but he's got no choice, he needs to borrow money. He borrows money and he gives you his night, what he needs in the night, he gives it to you as a mashkin. It says that you have, if this poor man comes to you and asks to get let give it back to him for in the night, you have to give it back to him. It's going to be viewed as if you've done a very righteous deed by giving this thing back to the poor man, even though it's a mashkin, it's a security that belongs to you, and in, you know, to secure the loan that he owes you, but and nonetheless you're giving it back to him, so he shouldn't be cold at night. That's considered a tzedakah, a very charitable move. The pasuk actually says hoshiv toshiv lo yesu, avoid giving back his mashkin kavoy hashemesh, when nighttime comes, v'shochav b'salmosoy, and he'll be able to sleep in his own, in his garments, uveirachacha, and you will be blessed by Hashem, ulecha tiyeh tzedakah, will be considered a tzedakah lifnei Hashem Elokecha. So the Gemara says, im einay koine mashkin, in the event that somebody who receives a mashkin is never koine the mashkin, tzedakah minayin. Why is it called a tzedakah? Tzedakah means when you're giving a charity, I'm giving you something that belongs to me, it could be considered charity. So if we say Baal Choyv is not koine mashkin, then giving it back might be a mitzvah, but it's not tzedakah. Mikan says, Rabbi Yitzchak, from here we see, the Baal Choyv shekoine mashkin, that the Baal Choyv is actually koine the mashkin, it's his. And if nonetheless, in spite of the fact that it's considered as yours, you're happy to give it back to him, so you shouldn't be cold at night, tzedakah, it's considered as a very charitable act. So it says Tanakama Sova. Now we're coming back to the Braisa. The Braisa of the Tanakama hold, Hanemili, when is it true that what Rabbi Yitzchok said, that Baal Choyv Koine Mashkin, Yisrael mi Yisrael? Who do Korinon Bey Ulachoti et Stoka? When you lent money to a Yisrael, and the Yisrael gave you a Mashkin, and then you say you were Koine the Mashkin, and you have to give it back to him, you have the mitzvah, it's considered Stoka. Avil Yisrael mi Nochri, Loi Koni. But when I receive a mashkin from a goy, I don't need to give it back to him. I'm not koine it. There's no pasuk that tells me that even when I get it from a goy, I'm koine it. And therefore Yisrael, who receives a mashkin from a goy, is not koine it. And therefore, the Tanakama say in the Braisa, if a goy's chometz is given as a mashkin to Yisrael, it's considered as if it still belongs to the goy. And therefore, after Pesach, it's muta. V'Rav Meir Sava, Rav Meir says kal v'chomer. It's actually a kal v'chomer. Yisroel mi Yisroel koni. If this garment belongs to another Yisroel, and nonetheless, when he gives it to me as a mashkin, as a security, I'm koine it. Yisroel mi nochri lekoshkin. Of course, if this garment is given to me by a goy, it's even easier to be koine that it should be considered mine. Logic would have said that it's more probable that a garment belonging to Yisroel should stay the Yisroel's. But if even a Yisrael to Yisrael is koina, of course, when a goy's object is given to a Yisrael, he's koina. If he's koina, and that's Reb Meir in the Braisa, that says that if a goy's chometz is mortgaged to a Yisrael, he says, Reb Meir says it's asa, because the Yisrael is koina, not the mortgage, it's the security. The goy's chometz is a mashkin, the Yisrael was koina the mashkin, therefore it's asa after Pesach. Aval nochri shel ves Yisrael, if a Yisrael's object is given as a mashkin to a goy, al chemtzoi, that means a goy lends a Yisrael money, and the mortgaged item or the security, the mashkin, is chometz of the Yisrael. Achar Pesach, divrei hakel, everybody says that it's still considered the Yisrael's because the goy was not koina. Hosam vaday nochri mi Yisrael loy koni, that a goy should be koina a mashkin given to him by Yisrael. Nobody would say that, and that's how we understand the sefer of the Braisa. Continues the Gemara, we're coming back to our Mishnah. Tanan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Nochri Shehilva Li Yisrael Al Chemtzoi. The first case in our Mishnah where the chometz of a Yisrael was used as a mortgage for a loan and given or was mortgaged to a goy. Achar HaPesach Mutar B'Hanoah. And we said that after Pesach, it's Mutar B'Hanoah, it's considered as if the goy was koinit. And we already said that if you say like Abaya that lemafreahu goiva, we understood that. According to Rava that says mikanu lahabo goiva, why is it mutter? It's still considered the chometz of the Yisrael. So the Gemara said before, hirhinu, we're talking about not just a mortgage, we're talking about security, we're talking about a mashkin. And the Yisrael's chometz was actually given to the goy as a mashkin. And therefore, even according to Ravo, who says that Mikanu Labo Goiva, when it's just a mortgage, in this case he'll be Koina, and that's why the Tanakama says, since this Chometz was deposited by the Goy, it's Mutter after Pesach. That's how we learned the Gemara before, on Amud Aleph. Now the Gemara is asking a question. It's true that according to Rava, we were forced to say that the Mishnah is not talking about a regular mortgage. It's talking about security. It's not a shibud. It's a mashkin. But we just said now, we just saw now that the Sefer of the Braisa we learned at the bottom of Amud Aleph says that a goy is never koina mashkin from the Yisrael. So if so, back to the ratio of our Mishnah, if the Yisrael's chometz is a mashkin by a goy was not koina that. It should be aser. The Mishnah says it's muta. Says the Gemara loikoni, and we explained this before already, hada omar le me'achshav. The ratio of the Mishnah is not only talking about that it's a mashkin and not a mirror mortgage, but not only is it a mashkin, but there was an added clause, an added statement in the agreement, and that was me'achshav. That when they said that if, that means the goy said to the Yisrael said to the goy that if I don't pay you back, the Yisrael said to the goy, if I don't pay you back by such and such a date, then here's a mashkin and it should be considered yours from now, from when I'm giving it to you, which was before Pesach. So if you have a mashkin together with a statement, me'achshav, that I want it to become yours from now, everybody agrees that even a goy is koyin of the mashkin from the Yisrael. And however, in the Sefer of the Braisa we were just learning about, where it says that if Yisrael's chometz is given as a mashkin to a goy, everybody says it's osa. There we say that he didn't say the words me'achshav. He didn't say that from now it's going to be yours. And then we said the goy is not koyin a mashkin from Yisrael. Asks the Gemara, who told you that when you give a mashkin, when Yisrael gives a mashkin to a goy, that there's a difference between whether you say me'achshav or you don't say me'achshav? If you don't say me'achshav, a goy is not koyin a mashkin. If you say that here's a mashkin and if I don't pay you back, it should be yours from now, from when I'm giving it to you, then the goy is koyin. You need some source for that. Says the Gemara de Tanya, this is from another Braisa. We learnt in the Braisa, Nachri Shahirhin Paspurni Eitzel Yisrael. Paspurni is a very significant type of bread. In the olden days, breads, the ovens were very small, breads were very small, but the very significant ovens were much larger and they could produce big breads. So somebody had this very significant choshev piece of bread or loaf of bread, and this goy had a bread and he mortgaged it, he deposited it. Hirin means he deposited this chosh of a bread as a mortgage, Eitzel Yisrael. He gave it to Yisrael as, not as a mortgage, as a security and as a mashkin. And he gave it to him for a loan that happened before Pesach. And only after Pesach is going to be the time of payment. And then it would be clear whether the Yisrael is going to pay back the goy and give him his bread back, his loaf of bread back, or no, if the Yisrael is going to claim the bread as the payment. And the Braisa says, clearly, ain't no over. It's considered as if the Yisrael was not koine it, it still belonged to the goy over Pesach, and therefore, you're not over, and the chometz is muta after Pesach. However, the Braisa continues, the second halacha in the Braisa, Veim Omar Loif, at the time when the goy gave this mashkin to the Yisrael, he said, gave it to the Yisrael, he said to the Yisrael, Higaticho, here, this is, you know, it is yours, and it seems to be that Higaticho means it's yours from now, when I'm giving it to you. In that case, over, in that case, it's considered as if the Yisrael was already koina the chometz of the goy from before, and it's also asks the Gemara Maishna Reishna Reisha or Maishna Sefer. What's the difference between the first halacha where he didn't say higaticha and the second halacha that he did say higaticha? If in the first halacha where he didn't say higaticha, it's ain't over because the Yisrael was not koina, obviously assuming that Yisrael is not koina mashkin from a goy. We saw before that it's actually machlokes. And this is obviously going according to the Tanakama that Yisrael is not koina a mashkin from a goy. then why, just because you say the word higaticha, suddenly it becomes osur? It's as if the Yisrael was koina. Elolav, it must be that the word higaticha is telling me shma mino shani heicha de omalei me'achshav leicha de loy omalei me'achshav. The word higaticha, here, it's yours, is so to speak saying it's yours from now. If it's yours from now, even in a case where without saying me'achshav it would not be koina, which we saw before is a goy being koina mashkin from Yisrael, now we're seeing even a Yisrael being koina mashkin from a goy, that if you say the words me'achshav, then you're always koina mashkin. Shema mino, that's the proof that there is a difference between whether you say me'achshav or you don't say me'achshav. Continues the Gemara, another somewhat related halacha, Tonu Rabbonon, Chanut shel Yisrael, if you have a shop belonging to Yisrael, Umelai shel Yisrael, all the stocks of bread and wine in the shop all belong to Yisrael, Upoyalei Nochrim, and the workers there are all Goyim, Nichnosim Lesham, the Goyisha workers are working there. Then chometz shenimtza sham achar Pesach, if you find chometz in this shop after Pesach, osur b'hano, we assume that they are part of the stock that belongs to the Yisrael, and then it's the Yisrael's chometz over Pesach, and it's osur b'hano after Pesach, and we don't assume that this is chometz that actually belongs to the workers, the non-Jewish workers that were working there over Pesach, and then it would be mutter. Ve'ein tzarech lo'im b'achila, of course, if it's osur b'hano, it's even going to be osur b'achila. Chanut shel Nochri, if you have a shop belonging to a goy, Umelai shel Nochri, and all the stocks belong to the goy as well, Upele Yisrael nechnosim v'yotzim l'sham, and it's Jewish workers that are going in and out of this shop, then chometz hanimtza sham achar Pesach, if you find chometz in this store after Pesach, mutar ba'achila, then one is allowed to eat the chometz. We assume it's part of the stock that belonged to the goy over Pesach, and therefore you're even allowed to eat it after Pesach, ve'in tzarech lo'im b'hano, and of course it's even mutar b'hano, and we don't assume that this is chometz that belonged to the Jewish workers that were there, and the Jewish workers, if they have chometz on Pesach, it's osur b'achila and hano after Pesach. Continues the next Mishnah. Chometz shenoflo olov ma'poiles. If you had chometz, and a building collapsed on top of this chometz before Pesach, hareyu kemevur, then it's somewhat considered as if it's been already disposed of, as if it's been removed, and you can leave it there. That means there's no balyeroy, there's no balyimotze, it's out of sight, it cannot be reached, and that's it, it's fine. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel adds a clause and says, Kol she'ein akelev yochel chapis acharov, there's a condition, and that is that a dog would not be able to smell it, and if he smells it, he'll be able to undig it. And if he undigs it, now it's going to be visible to everybody, it'll be found, and there'll be an issue of Bali Roy and Bali Motze. Says the Gemara, Omer of Chizda, V'tzorech she'ivatil b'liboy. It's not good enough that you know that there's a collapsed wall on top of this chometz. You actually have to, in your heart, and there's a discussion if you have to verbalize it, but you have to also do bittel, just in case it becomes revealed, just in case somebody moves away the ruins and moves away the stones from on top of the chometz and the chometz becomes revealed, at least it's no longer attributed to you. You've nullified it in your heart by doing bittel. It's not your chometz anymore. Tana, we learned, kamo chafisas hakelev. Yerub Shimon Gamliel said that these stones have to be covering the chometz to the extent that a dog would not be able to smell it and uncover it. How much is that in practical terms? How high do these stones, the ruins, have to be on top of the chometz? Says the Gemara, shleisha tfochim, three tfochim is enough. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Acha Breda of Yosef Leravashi, Hodo Omer Shmuel. Shmuel said a halacha that ksofim, when you're watching, when you're trying to safeguard somebody else's money, and you want to make sure that you're not considered a pesher, that you are careless with your safeguarding it, and that would make you responsible if it got lost or stolen, then says Shmuel, the only way you can actually safeguard the money, then if you do this, even if it gets stolen, you'll not be held responsible, ein lem shmira ela bekarka. They have to be dug into the ground. When they're dug underground, out of sight, then that is sufficient safeguarding. Mi be'inon shleisha tfochim oloi. The question that Rav Acha Breda of Yosef asked Rav Ashi is that in that case, you also need to dig it and bury it, the money, 3 tvachim underground, or is less than that sufficient? Omer Leir Vashi answered him, Hocha Mishum Reicha. Over here with the dog has a very keen scent of a sense of smell, and therefore he can up to 3 tvachim, he'll smell it and dig up the chometz. Bein Roshleisha tvachim, therefore you need 3 tvachim, and then the dog will not be able to smell it. Hasam, in the case of the money, mishum ichsuya me'enuhu, all you want is that it should be concealed, it shouldn't be visible. And therefore, lo yiboy Roshleisha, you don't need 3 tvachim. V'kamo, how much do you need? Omer Raphron Bar Papa Misichra, Raphron Bar Papa from a place of Sichra said, Tefach, 1 tefach is enough, and if you put it underground, a tefach, it's considered that you've hidden it well, nobody can see it, nobody will steal it, and if nonetheless it gets stolen, you will not be held chayev as a poishea. In Yirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.